pleasure to be here and be able to speak to all of you, and I appreciate Georgia inviting me. And like George said, you know, a lot of what I did when I was here at SDSU was... was manage the integrated resource management group. And boy, I probably learned more from doing that than anything else I did at SDSU, because you just get a phenomenal amount of data collected. And we just kind of ran across some of these issues just by accident, because, you know, as you look at the effect of calving date on longevity and lifetime productivity, this really isn't anything new. I think anybody with cows probably has suspected that there are some relationships between early calvers, how long they hang around in the herd, how productive they are. But it's just really, it traditionally has been pretty hard to really put your thumb on, you know, what is the relationship. And so through collecting a lot of this data, we were able to get a little bit of pilot stuff together. They gave us some clues on what to look for. And so, of course, you know, spreading cow, especially cow maintenance costs, over a larger number of offspring is critical to profitability, especially in the commercial cow-calf deal. And really, to be sustainable, we've got to be able to get a return on the investment that we put in replacement heifers. And that is probably traditionally where some of the biggest problems in the cow-calf industry have occurred, is it's so expensive to develop a replacement heifer. And if she only lasts in the herd 2, 3, 4 years, you know, that's a money loser. And, you know, traditionally through some of the data we've collected, it's shown, you know, 4, 5, 6 calves is what you need just for that heifer to pay for the cost of developing her. With today's prices, maybe it's, you know, closer to 4 or 5, but a lot of that's just going to depend on the individual operation. So a lot of this really comes down to how quickly can she recover her development cost is going to play a big part in how profitable she's going to be. And traditionally, when we, you know, as commercial cow-calf producers, when we go to selecting replacement heifers, we rely pretty heavily on phenotypic traits. You know, and a lot, and I'm just, you know, I'm the same as everybody else. The first thing I look for is size. You know, the bigger heifers, the growthier heifers, the soggier heifers are the ones that we look for first. And you know, we then maybe we go back and we look at mama and see how she's performed in the herd, and we focus on body type, and we look at what sire she's out of, and her phenotypic soundness and all those things. And all those are very critical to selecting these replacement heifers. But it's been, traditionally, it's been a lot harder to really put your thumb on, okay, what we really need out of this replacement heifer is fertility, first and foremost. And it's been a little bit difficult to be able to phenotypically analyze heifers for fertility. And unfortunately, you know, there's pretty low heritability associated with most direct measures of fertility. So just because mama was a pretty fertile cow does not necessarily guarantee that the daughter is, okay? And so as we look at this, we have to recognize that breeding fertility at a population level probably is not that achievable. Making big advances in fertility at a population level is probably not going to happen. But, you know, being able to select high fertility individuals, now there may be some opportunities to do that. And so kind of what we were looking at as we went through this was, is there a more direct way to select for fertility? And even if there is, you know, is that going to translate into longevity in the herd for those females? So kind of our objectives as we went through this is, you know, does selecting heifers based on early conception and thus early calving consistently result, and that's the big thing, does it consistently result in increase longevity in the herd? Do we see any increases in productivity from those early calvers that maybe we lose in some of the later calvers? And then ultimately, okay, even if we do find some relationships here, does it even matter economically? And when we first started out on this, I really questioned, like I say, everybody probably at least has some inkling that there's a relationship there. But I really had my doubts whether it made that much economic sense. So that was one of the things that we really wanted to focus on by looking at this. So what we did, like I talked about, we started out with data that was collected here in South Dakota through the Integrated Resource Management Program. And so basically what I did is I just asked a group of producers that were involved in this program if I could go back through their calving books as far back as they had them and be able to track heifers throughout their lifetimes so we could look at how long they lasted, what was their productivity, those types of things. And so we ended up with a small group, but it was about 2,200 heifers to look at throughout their lifetimes. And so we went through that process, and then, after taking a look at those, and once we had a little pilot data, we were like, okay, this probably really is worth looking into. So we were fortunate enough to be able to hook up with Dr. Cushman at the U.S. Meat Animal Research Center down at Clay Center. And, of course, they got a few cows down there, so we were able to tap into about, 16,000 heifer records over a span of about 20 years. So that added a lot of bulk to our data set. And the other thing that I think it really helped out on was, you've got two very different populations there. You've got a population of heifers out of a variety of different programs, a variety of different managers, and even a variety of different locations throughout the state. And then you've kind of got a group of heifers that are really well managed in one management program. In one area to kind of check and see, okay, are we kind of seeing the same things there? So what we did was we took these heifers and we sorted them into 21-day calving groups. So you got your first cycle, your second cycle, your third cycle. And any females that were checked open at when they were preg checked were then removed from the record was closed on them at that point that they checked open. And then, of course, one of the other things you run into is you've got some bred females that maybe you liquidate for reasons other than being checked open. So she might be pregnant, but for whatever reason, you decide to sell her. So then at that point, we censored them from the data analysis. Okay. So if we take these two groups and we're not really comparing the two groups, we're just trying to look at, are we seeing the same trends in those two very different groups? And when you look at longevity in the herd, we definitely saw that heifers that calved with their first calf in the first 21-day period had increased longevity compared to those that calved in the second period or third period. Okay. And like I say, these are two very different populations, and you'll notice when these graphs pop up how different the populations are. Okay. So this is looking at the percent of heifers remaining in the herd after 10 calving seasons at the U.S. Meat Animal Research Center down at Clay Center. And so it's not really a surprise that, over time you've got females that drop out. Okay, what I guess was a little bit more surprising to me was the rate that they drop out. And then when you look at that endpoint, how many of them, thinking back to, you need maybe even six calves just to pay for her development cost, how long she lasts past that point, because that's your profit right there. You need six calves before you turn a profit on them, and then, of course, you're going to get a salvage value as well. Okay, and so at the Meat Animal Research Center, of course, we were looking at these females, and you're looking at, 65% or so of those females are remaining of the first calvers are remaining in the herd past 10 or up to 10 years, okay, which is pretty substantial, especially when you look at this next slide and you look at these heifers from a variety of different operations around South Dakota. And now you see a much steeper dropout rate of these heifers and fewer of them that remain in the herd up to, you know, 9 or 10 years. Okay. And probably particularly interesting is if you look right here at the rate that, of course, they drop out after their first, second, third calves. A pretty steep decline, pretty steep dropout rate of those heifers right there. Okay. Now, I do think it's important to point out a little bit that, and we'll talk about it here in a second, but it's important to point out the differences between those two particular data sets. But, you know, on these Meat Animal Research Center heifers, 63.7% of them were still in the herd after 10 calving seasons, and about 54.7% were left after 10 seasons that were second-cycle breeders and second-cycle calvers. Okay, and looking at the South Dakota heifers, only about 14.3% of those heifers remained after 10 calving seasons of the first-cycle calvers. But of the second-cycle calvers, it was 6.4% of those second-cycle calvers were left after 10 years. And so the difference between the U.S. mark and South Dakota is really not that important. What's important is the difference between the first cycle here and the second cycle here, here and here. And, of course, I think the one, not only does that show us that there is a positive relationship between these early calvers and longevity, but the other thing that I think it shows us is it can be very variable in different herds. I mean, some folks are going to notice a big difference a lot more than others. Okay? And so you do have two different very populations, and I think it's important to point out that when you know, we talked a little bit about the management systems in that you've got a variety of different management systems in that South Dakota heifer group. Okay, there's 20-plus producers in that group, in that 2,200 heifers. And at the Meat Animal Research Center, of course, you got 16,000 heifers that are all, I would assume, basically under the same or a similar management program. The other thing that's worth pointing out is that in the years that this data was collected from South Dakota, seven of those years were severe drought years or the years just following drought. Okay, and the expectation there, of course, was that there were some females probably that were liquidated that weren't necessarily, there wasn't necessarily anything wrong with them. They just didn't have the grass for them. Okay, and then, of course, you know, there's been several points in the last 20 years where there was just simple profit taking. Okay, and you think back when heifers were just, you know, the price was high, so either we sold our heifers or we just didn't keep them in the first place. We just sold them right off the cow as heifer calves. So, you know, there's some different things going on there, and so that's why I don't want you to focus too much on comparing the Meat Animal Research Center data to the South Dakota heifer data. The real thing we're looking at is the difference between the two cycles. Now here, if you look at the average age when heifers were diagnosed open, this is for the U.S. mark, and you can see that that you do find a difference between the different calving date groups in how long they lasted in the herd. And when you compare that to these heifers from South Dakota, you see a very similar trend. Okay, that there is a fair amount of dropout between, you know, depending on whether they calved in that first group or that second group or even later on. Okay. And so one thing I did want to point out is that we're not talking about a humongous difference between the percentage of females in either of these populations that breed in that first group. Okay, it was 66% calved in the first 21 days in that first group at the mark, and 58% over this group of heifers from South Dakota. So you're talking about an 8% difference in those that bred up and calved in that first cycle. Okay, And so if you look at average longevity for these heifers at the mark, in that those that calved in that first 21 days, their average longevity was 8.2 years. Okay, and the second 21 days was 7.6 years. And then you jump down to looking at longevity of these South Dakota heifers, those that bred up in that first 21 days and calved in that first 21 days of the calving season, you're looking at about 5.1 years versus 3.9 years of those that bred up in that second cycle. Okay, so again, not so much comparing the two populations, but look at the difference between the first cycle and the second cycle.